Kentucky and Texas deliver wild finishes in what's been a great SEC basketball tournament so far. We're going to give you updates. Duke star Cooper Flagg exits with an apparent ankle injury, and the WNBA is recruiting male practice players. I wonder why. Check it out and more on the Friday edition. Kind of coming. Everybody listening, doesn't matter if it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we're just grateful you are listening. Please leave us a 5-star review and keep sharing the show. The madness is once again upon us, and oh, has March already delivered. We had some incredible finishes here recently, and we're going to get to some of those. But I do want to make this point. I love football. Football is my favorite sport. Grew up in the state of Alabama, where college football is king. But even though I believe that football is the greatest sport on the planet, at the end of the day, March Madness, in my opinion, is the most awesome sporting event that there is. I love it more than the Super Bowl. I love it more than the college football playoff. It is absolutely electric and fantastic. And this year, I think it's going to be as mad as it has ever been. David Cohn, my biggest kind of moment, I guess, so far, and there's been quite a few, is the Kentucky game winner last night in the SEC tournament against Oklahoma after blowing a 10-point lead with like a minute to go. It was absolutely insane. Owe is an incredible player. I think he could line up and go play linebacker and be fine, maybe even tight end if he had to. But I want to play this last shot. After Oklahoma had taken the lead, Kentucky had one chance with 5.6 seconds left, and this is what happened. Let's go ahead and play it.
He's going. He drives.
That thing is so much harder than it looks on TV from that angle. And I mean, this guy played at Oklahoma. He transferred from Oklahoma. He also scored the last time when they played Oklahoma and they beat him, scored like the last 18 points of the game. So Owe at the end of the day is an absolute stud. And that was just one of the few great games that the SEC tournament delivered for us yesterday.
And they funneled him into the corner, but he was able to hit the baseline. Hey, and we saw some great fans at SEC at the SEC tournament this week. Kentucky fans were out there, Arkansas fans. We got a lot of that content coming out this weekend. I want to talk about Texas and Texas A&M yesterday, the double overtime game that they played in. That was an incredible game. Texas now moves forward, and they're going to take on Tennessee. I know we're going to preview that in Keys to Victory. But what did you guys think about Texas and Texas A&M?
Man, well, it was a back-and-forth game. There were times where I thought Texas definitely had it. There were times where I thought Texas A&M had it. But as far as the grand scope of things, we know that Texas A&M was in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament, that is. They're trying to improve their seeding. But Texas, after that win, that's why it was so crucial, is now, Joe Lunardi, at least this morning, said they are the last team in the tournament. So it was massive, obviously, for Texas. But if you're A&M, again, that first half was very un-A&M-ish. They actually got out-rebounded by Texas on the offensive side and the defensive side. But you had Wilcher hit a late big shot. You had everybody kind of contribute. But Trey Johnson, guys, and we look at where some of these, you know, lottery picks that are supposed to go and who can be a great NBA player. And Trey Johnson's about to take on Tennessee here in, you know, 25, 30 minutes. He is one of the most electric offensive players that I've seen. And it's not just his scoring ability. He's also a great passer. I love his physicality, and he tries to play defense. So it was huge for Texas. The SEC, Flaming Dragon, may get 14 teams in the NCAA tournament. 14 out of 16 as it stands today, which is absolutely bananas.
Does that hit as hard since there's been conference expansion?
I think it makes it even harder.
As well as, David, you were telling me this earlier. It was 11, correct? 11 was the
last record. I think the record's 11.
So now it'd be 14. Look, congratulations to the SEC. It's going to be a huge monument for them. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to get in and win.
Yeah.
Right? With this type of, with what you've done in the regular season, which you've earned, now you have to show it off. Because we had the same thing in the college football playoff argument. I mean, the SEC walked in there and got absolutely demolished. And everybody made fun of the SEC. And trust me, if you can't dish it, I mean, if you can't take it, don't dish it. But I think the SEC is going to be fine. But my biggest takeaway from what we've seen so far is the Cooper Flagg injury.
Yeah.
I mean, who is Duke without Cooper Flagg? I mean, obviously, they won the game 78-70 versus Georgia Tech. They're a better team. But is Duke a Sweet 16 team without Cooper Flagg? Are they Elite Eight team without Cooper Flagg? Does now, if Cooper doesn't play, are they at the most risk to lose early as the as a one seed?
So he got wheeled off into the locker room.
Got
wheeled
off in the locker room.
Came back out.
Didn't have a boot on.
Didn't have a boot. Yeah.
He sprained his ankle. If you look at it, I mean, he, and we got the clip right here. Go ahead and play it so you can look at it against Georgia Tech. Watch the way he falls, the height he falls, and how his foot folds. Let's go ahead and play it. Watch him come down here. Left foot, bam. I mean, his ankle, like the ball of your ankle hit the floor. So this is him getting wheeled into the locker room at halftime. X-rays were negative, they said. But we all know, if you've played basketball before or really any sport, you've turned your ankle. Is it a high ankle? Is it a low ankle? Those are two different things. Jani Broome at Auburn, you know, turned his ankle at South Carolina and you know, you thought they were going to have to amputate his leg with the reaction there, but he was able to come back after a couple games. As far as Duke, to your point, Flaming Dragon, I think Duke is still really, really good without Cooper Flagg. But John Shire made a point before halftime yesterday that I think is very apt. On the defensive side with Cooper Flagg is also huge. Yes, he can go get a bucket. Yes, he can shoot. Yes, he can drive. But defensively, they really regress without him on the court. So to me, I would still say Duke is at least an Elite Eight team without Cooper Flagg. But the question now becomes, Cone, not in the ACC tournament, because there's no way you're going to play him in the ACC tournament. You're already a one seed. That first game as a one seed is against a 16. You can get away with it. But then that 8-9 game with a team in Duke that hasn't been tested like as much as some of these others. I mean, where do you see Duke if Cooper Flagg can't play until the Sweet 16?
Well, first of all, they have North Carolina today, and that line right now is -6.5 without Cooper Flagg. They've beaten the Tar Heels twice. That's a the greatest college basketball rivalry. So I'm interested to see if Duke will sort of switch up a mentality to say, hey, without Cooper Flagg, this is almost more of a challenge just to see, like, who do we replace him with? How can we work? Let's get a live practice in to finish out this ACC tournament to be able to work without him. Obviously, you'd get at least a full week. He'd get at least a full week of rest, and that's even if you tried to get him ready for the first
round. If it came back, the MRI came back and said Cooper fractured his ankle, and he's done. Does that do anything to Duke's seeding?
No, it wouldn't do anything.
Because I know, I remember, it might have been a different sport, but I remember someone really important getting hurt on the team and they're being undefeated, not letting to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I get your point talking about Florida State and Jordan Travis. But, and I just want to say, Cooper Flagg did not break his ankle. He's going to be back, I think, most likely in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Maybe the first round if they want to push it. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I don't know the doctor on staff. But Duke is still really, really good. They're still the biggest team, the longest team in college basketball. And we always think about Duke and offense, right? J.J. Redick, guys they've had in the past, Jay Williams, these guys. But I think this Duke team has separated themselves because defensively, you look at Malawach. I mean, you look at Odongbo and what he was able to do last night. You look at Proctor's improved defensively. I think a small key to Duke is Evan's ability to shoot. He won in the Auburn game. He hit 6 threes in the first half to beat him. So this Duke team is still really good. But going in the NCAA tournament, you want to be firing on all cylinders health-wise. And again, until I know the matchups, until I know the draws, it's really hard for me to say, all right, well, Duke is this team with them. They're this team without them. But either way, I still know they're pretty damn good.
A couple other things here. I want to talk about BYU's record-breaking performance. 18 threes to beat Iowa State.
Well, Flaming, you picked them to win the Big 12 tournament. Now, I picked Houston, and they're still in it. This BYU team, I'm just telling you right now, a team like BYU, they remind me a little bit of Missouri in the SEC. You do not want to see them in the NCAA tournament. But I think the biggest compliment that I can give BYU is they hung around with the toughness aspect of Iowa State. Don't forget, they went to Iowa State and beat them in Ames earlier this season. So they're able to hang around and be physical enough. And then if you're hitting 18 threes, I don't care how good your defense is, you're going to be in that game. Richie Saunders, you look at this whole group, Nell, that they're a problem, even if only half of them are hit.
Also, Iowa, it looks like Iowa's going to part ways with head coach Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Got thrown out his last game, too. What a way to go out.
He got thrown out the last game?
Yeah, what a way to go out. There's not a better way to go out as a coach, getting tossed.
That's what I would do. I would get tossed my last one. It'd been falling off the rails a little bit lately for Iowa anyways. Samford had a huge game yesterday, but they needed to make this change. I mean, Iowa prides itself. Again, having coached football in that state, I know how much pride they take in basketball, and this is a move that had to be made. I'll be interested to see who replaces them.
So what's the score right now of this Auburn game?
Auburn's up 5. They can't get the ball in bounds. I don't know how a team that averages 30 years old can't get the ball in bounds. They're still up 5. They got the ball with a minute 13. If you can handle it and you make your three throws, you're going to win.
Look, I took Ole Miss plus 12.5. I felt like that was a great bet from a point standpoint, but I don't care. I don't care if Auburn loses this game.
You were cheering for him before the camera.
Well, because I'm competitive deep down, Dave. But I don't care. Really, I don't care if they lose this or win this game. This is not going to help or hurt their seed.
Do you want them to lose so that they can go ahead and rest up?
I just don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah. I'm kind of with – I've been asked, even going on the radio, like, how much does it matter? How much does it matter? I've seen it go both ways. I watched Auburn run through the SEC tournament in 2019 and then use that momentum to go all the way to the Final Four. But then I watched them run through the SEC tournament last year and lose to the blue-haired protesters from Yale that just took over Trump Tower the other day. Like, it just – at this point, I'm like, just play good in the NCAA tournament. That's it. But, again, I always want my team to win. I know the players want to win. I really just want them to get the ball in right here, which they did, and then make some free throws. But I tell you, this SEC tournament, man, it's already delivered. I know we've had some good games in the Big Ten tournament as well. By the way, Michigan State, shout out Michigan State, beat Oregon by 10 earlier in the day, 74-64. But guys, you look at some of these matchups coming up here in the tournament, here in the stretch. You got Texas and Tennessee. You got Kentucky and Bama. You got Florida and Missouri. I mean, there's some really good ones popping up here. Here goes Chad Baker. Don't understand how that's not a foul, but okay. There's some great games going to be coming down the stretch here, and I'm going to enjoy it to see it and watch them all weekend because they're only going to get better. They're only going to get better.
All right, let's get to the chat. We're going to start with a $5 donation from the AU kid. Appreciate it, man. Says, guys, it's just me or Chad Baker Mazzaro's body language is killing me every time he plays, and I'm pretty sure it's hurting the team. I'm so sick of watching this guy do the same things over and over again.
Well, it has been hurting Auburn. At some point, you think, you know, you would move past it. I'm just glad he hadn't gotten thrown out of the game today, even though he does have four fouls, so he may foul out here at the end. I just don't. The part that I understand is you don't want to take away their stinger. We hear that in football all the time. That's a term that gets used all the time. But also, if you had gotten kicked out of an NCAA tournament game and cost your team the year before, even if it was on a retaliatory thing, like with what happened with Youngblood, I just don't know how you make that mistake again. Like, I would be – they're looking for it. They are looking for Chad Baker Mazzaro, who didn't get that foul call on the drive just a second ago, because the referees, they're just not a fan of him the way he plays, and some of that's brought on himself. But, I mean, you got to get over it at some point.
I think about this with Draymond Green a lot, or even Dennis Rodman back in the day. There's such a difference between being the tone setter for your team and being the guy who can impose physicality, but also then taking it too far and you're being a distraction and really just hurting your team. I mean, the former of which happens in hockey a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like you have a guy who's a basher and who sets the tone for your team, but then at what point are you setting your team back?
For sure.
$1.99 donation from the Basketball Junkie. What's up, man? How much do we believe in this Texas team? Are they good enough to make a run in the SEC tournament, and are they in?
I think Texas is in right now. I think they're in. My question for Texas is not Trey Johnson's ability to shoot the ball. We've seen Trayvon Mark come up huge in big moments. It's the front court. It's the guys down low. Shedrick had a really good game at the free throw line, you know, last night. It's just how far can they go? That was a huge shot by
Jonathan. Wow, big bucket.
And I don't know how that wasn't a foul. Pat Adams, he's basically Osama bin Laden, Auburn fans. But I worry about what Texas has in the post moving forward, because you're going to have games, just like we saw at the end of the year with Texas, where Trey Johnson may not be shooting the ball great. Pope may not be shooting the ball great. I worry about Texas's versatility, but I think they're in the tournament. And who knows, man? Who knows?
All right, let's go to Tim J with a $10 donation. Appreciate it, Tim. Right now, do you think Jahni Broome is the best player in the country? I think Trey Johnson is right up there with him.
Send Annie a voice note.
Hey, sis. So, okay, you know that cozy hoodie you always steal from Charlie after your workouts? Well, I just went to Lululemon and saw they have the same one for women now. I think it's called Steady State. Just throwing the idea out there, since you haven't added your wish list in the group chat yet. Plus, I know how much you love matching Charlie. Anyway, talk later. I'll see you at Run Club.
Shop Women's Steady State now at Lululemon.com.
Well, I guess if you phrase it as who's more important to their team, I think Jahni Broome is more important to the team than Trey Johnson. If I had to pick this next draft and I needed front court and back court and I had to pick between Trey Johnson and Jahni Broome going forward, in the NBA, I'm taking Trey Johnson. But I think Jahni Broome has done it in the hardest league that we've seen going back throughout the KenPom era, I would go Jani Broome.
Right now, I'm looking at the Wooden Award odds. Cooper Flagg still minus 200, Jani Broome plus 230. I wonder how that injury for Cooper Flagg will impact this.
I wonder, too, because I believe they start the voting this coming up Sunday. It's on Selection Sunday, I think, when they start the voting. So if Auburn were to go on a run, I mean, what does Jani Broome have right now? Like 25 and 13? I mean, again, Cooper getting hurt. Have they already made their minds up? I don't know, but we'll continue to monitor it for sure. But
quickly, poll. In March Madness, is March Madness the best sporting event all time?
All time,
Dave. Yes or no?
Nah.
You're saying no? I'm going to say they said no 61%.
Yes, 55.
Telling you.
It's just that time of year.
It's that time of year. I wanted the recency bias poll. That's what I wanted. But any time of year is a great time to get in shape. And if you want a workout that's personalized and it can be customized to your surroundings, your availability, not to get burnt out, you know, just doing leg day or arm day every day, which who does leg day every day? I don't know that person. That's where our friends at FitBod, where they come in. They can help you level up your workout. And you can join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan and get 25% off your subscription or try the app free for 7 days at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.ME/booster. Telling you guys, we had to get in shape for Lady Ballers. We use FitBod. And the coolest thing about it to me, Coney, is that it isn't a one-size-fits-all. If you work out in your garage or you go to a gym to work out or you work out in the woods with logs, sticks, and rocks, they can find a way to help.
No doubt. And getting in shape for Lady Ballers, the biggest thing that I remembered from doing that is it's like there's never a bad time to start getting yourself in shape.
For sure.
Right? Like in the compound interest every day, if you do just a little bit and you're using a program like FitBod, like the results in 6 weeks, like there's no telling what you can achieve.
It's just getting to that routine and sticking to it. That's why you need to go to fitbod.me/booster. All right, let's move on because there's some massive matchups, but we do have an update.
Recap this real quick though.
Auburn wins 62-57.
Yeah.
This is the third time that they've beaten Ole Miss. Auburn needed this win, not from a seeding standpoint. I think they were going to get the number one overall seed regardless. This pretty much locks it up. I think it does lock it up. But you wanted to get that good momentum back. Did they play their best? No, they scored 62 points. But again, I go back to the versatility argument. Can you win games that are played in the 90s and the 80s? That's great. But can you also win games that are played in the 60s and the 50s? That's what's going to matter in March. In the postseason, you are 0-0. Now you are 1-0, and they're going to play the winner of Tennessee and Texas. Nobody got hurt. Jani Broome went off. So look, Auburn's got some things to clean up, but I'd much rather be on this side of it.
Any thoughts from you?
Well, you know, I just get worried every time I see Dylan Cardwell and Chris Moore on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I think what it's going to come down to, I think Auburn's best players, Jani, Miles Kelly, these guys, they're going to show up. But a lot of it, when you want to make those deep runs, the guys on the bottom have to show up too. And I think that's Dylan Cardwell, and I think that's Chris Moore. And I think Chaney Johnson might be a huge piece.
He's the key to me.
The piece, whether or not Auburn makes a deep run in this tournament, because he can be the difference with that amount of talent and depth on your team. So I think it's the little pieces that matter the most when it comes to making a big run.
All right, hit me with some keys to victory. We got Alabama and Kentucky tonight. I can't wait for this basketball game. The line right now as we sit here is -7.5. Bama over under 178.5. I think that's come down a point in the last hour.
That's still a lot of points.
Yeah.
80-80 is 160.
Yeah.
Just think about that. You know, typically games that Alabama play, and it's an obvious thing, my key is always pace. But Kentucky can play up and down. Kentucky wants to get into an up and down game some nights, in my opinion, with the way that they shoot. But I think the key is the Grant Nelson versus Andrew Carr matchup. Because there's a lot of similarities into the way that those two guys play. Not just because they're big and exciting whites. It's that they have the capability to shoot the three. Grant Nelson showed up against Auburn, kind of got some of his confidence back. Carr, who was at Delaware, transferred to Wake Forest, transferred from Wake Forest now to Kentucky, has really come on here lately. He had a back injury halfway through the year. Whoever wins from a points and rebound standpoint, I'm willing to make this assessment right now. Whoever wins the points rebound combined matchup between Andrew Carr and Grant Nelson, I bet that team wins the game. Because I think those stretch fours, those guys that can go down there and mix it up with their back to the basket, yet also stretch you out to the three-point line, that's what I'm looking at. That's a huge key to me.
What's at stake right now for seeding? Is Alabama locked into a two?
I don't think they're locked into a two. I think Alabama, that last seed to me, because I think Auburn locked up the number one overall seed. Duke is locked into a one seed, probably the two overall, regardless of what happens against North Carolina. Pretty sure Houston's going to be locked into that third number one seed. So right now, Florida is the fourth. So it's a battle between Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama. All these teams play today. Literally, Tennessee is playing next against Texas. Then Florida is going to play, Alabama's going to play Kentucky, and Florida is going to play Missouri. So I think whoever, this may be a play-in situation if one of those teams wins it. Now, guys, I do want to say last year, Auburn winning the SEC tournament on Sunday didn't matter in the seeding. Didn't matter at all. They still put them over there with UConn. So I'm thinking it just matters the next two games. Can you make it to the championship game? Whichever one of those two, I think they got a good chance because think about it. And I don't have the bracket right in front of me, Flaming Dragon. If Tennessee beats Texas, Tennessee will play Auburn, all right, which would obviously be a quality win if Tennessee can win that. And if Florida and Alabama win, they play each other. So, and then if Florida wins and plays Tennessee, that's a de facto who gets in there. So a lot's at stake for those three. Outside of that, I think it's pretty much locked up.
You like the 7.5 right now for Alabama?
God, I'd probably lean Kentucky, to be honest. Well, the big question to me to start off with, how does Kentucky adapt without Lamont Butler? I mean, he's their guy on defense.
Is he out? Is he officially
out? I'm pretty sure he's out. I'm not 100% on that. Chad, feel free to chat, to check me if I'm wrong. But him being out, that's their guy on defense. All right, 83 is not going to be enough to beat Alabama. You're going to have to score someone in the 90s. And the second thing, obviously, if you're Kentucky, you want to somewhat control the tempo. Is this the type of game where you want to slow it down? You know, do you want to do what the opposite of what Alabama is? Do I think Kentucky's better when they're moving up and down the court? For sure, but you're going to have to adjust to what you're seeing. And if you get into a race against Alabama, I don't know if you win that game.
Yeah.
I really don't. And the third thing, if you're Kentucky, you got to protect the perimeter. You have to protect the perimeter. I want Alabama to beat me from inside. You're not going to beat me from the outside, launch shots all day, and who's going to stop Mark Sears?
Yeah.
Right? Because usually Mark Sears is that guy in these big moments who shows up and has a day. And he's due. Like, he's due to turn back into Mark Sears. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him drop a 30-piece.
Yeah, Auburn held him in check until the final possession.
Yeah.
He hit the game-winning shot last week. I'm taking Alabama overs until further notice. Yeah. That will be reflected in my locks, leans, or dogs later. Next up, keys to victory, Tennessee, Texas. This game may tip while we're still on the air. So I want Tennessee and Texas fans, get those calls in. We want to hear from you early before this game tips off. The line right now, -9.5, Tennessee.
God, that's a lot.
136.5 on the point line.
This is Texas's third game in 3 days. And you're going up against what I think is the most physical team in the country by the way they play. So, you know, Texas has a lot of flash and sizzle. Trey Johnson. You know, I mentioned Pope. I think Weaver has kind of brought a new toughness to this team coming off the injury that he had. You saw that against A&M. Can Texas be nasty for a second straight day? They were nasty against A&M. They were fighting down low. They were going after 50-50 balls. They did the things in the dumpster. Sometimes you don't get to fight in front of everybody in Vegas. You just got to whip somebody's ass behind the bar when only four guys are looking. That's why I feel like Texas has to adopt that mantra of, and how much confidence are they taking from the game and the style of win that was? Because I'm telling you right now, Tennessee does not show up for a basketball game. They show up for a fist fight. Now, if Chaz Lanier's shooting and they can add Ziegler's shot and all this other stuff and that big, huge white from Slovenia, whatever they got, hitting shots, they can be pretty dangerous offensively. But when you look at Tennessee and you look at the front court, the guys down in the post, right? Okparo. What kind of game can he have compared to Shedrick from Texas? So can you be nasty? Can you be physical? Because if Texas can match Tennessee's physicality, they can beat them. But if Tennessee comes out and throws a couple punches early and Texas feels like, oh, we're in the NCAA tournament, I'm just going to settle for jump shots with a hand in my face, Tennessee will end up running away with them even if the offense isn't there.
I was watching Texas and Texas A&M go into double overtime yesterday with a room full of Tennessee Volunteers fans. They were thrilled about it, right, because they were wanting Texas to come into this game fatigued. Do you think that's what will happen?
No, I don't. I think when it comes to basketball, like, if you're hot, you're hot. You're feeling it, you're feeling it. I think Texas is feeling it right now. My big keys, I mean, if we look on the Tennessee side, one, you need to be yourself. That one, you show up defensively. That's what Tennessee does. You control the pace. Tennessee basketball reminds me of Iowa football.
That's what I've said that for 3 years.
What it reminds me of. So if Iowa can control the pace and do what they want to do, especially on the defensive side, turn you over. I mean, they're averaging giving up 61 points a game on defense, which is absolutely insane. And you have a full roster of basically seasoned veterans. right? So you have the experience, you have the depth, and if you can show up on defense, and your offense is somewhat there, your best players are somewhat attacking, hitting shots from the outside. I like Tennessee in this game. And if you're Texas, I mean, I know one guy who has to show up.
Yeah.
And one guy who can be the difference in this game, who's probably the best player on the court, and that's Trey Johnson.
Can I throw this caveat in here? There's a guy for Tennessee that I think is the X factor that nobody talks about, or they don't talk about enough. And he really showed up against Bama and kept Tennessee in that game for a while, and that's Jordan Gainey. Yes, Chaz Lanier is an incredible shooter, right? Great offensive player. Sakai Ziegler is a great creator. He can get hot. Gainey's mid-range game has kept Tennessee in some of the biggest games they've played in. If Jordan Gainey is hitting, that three-headed monster with him, Ziegler, and Lanier becomes a lot more dangerous, and you can get away with not having a great low post score. So watch for Jordan Gainey in this game. I think he's a catalyst not enough people talk about when they're talking about Tennessee.
Florida, Missouri, this game tips at 7 Eastern, -8.5 right now for the Gators, 162.5 on the point line.
Man, don't forget, guys, Missouri went into Florida and beat them. Like this Missouri team, I kind of liken them to the, by the way, Wisconsin is beating UCLA to death right now in the Big Ten tournament,
wow.
Coney. I don't know if you, I didn't expect that.
I was going to take that for my locks, leans, and dogs, but it tipped before.
Hey, you yeah, should take
I was going to take,
hey,
Ole Miss plus 12.5.
Take whatever Wisconsin was.
Yeah, right.
It was 1.5. No, when I look at this Missouri team, I liken them to the BYU team. And you talk about a team that wants to play up and down and play fast. But again, if you're Missouri, even after you had that big win last night against Mississippi State, you are running into what I think is the best team in the country right now, at least at the end of the regular season in Florida. And I'm sitting here, I've gotten in the lab with a pen and a pad trying to figure out what Florida's weakness is. And the only thing I can come up with is you better get to three people if you're going to get to Florida. The pilot, the bus driver, or the chef. Because right now, if you can't get to those three, I don't know how you stop these guys. I think Missouri could play great and score 85 points and lose by 10. That's how good Florida is. So key to the victory is you got to turn the water off somewhere. Is it in the front court with Hawk and Hanglockton and Condon and the other guy's name I can't pronounce, Ojulari, I think, down low? Or do you say, you know what, we're going to try and stop the backcourt of Walter Clayton, Will Richard, I mean, Elijah Martin, even that guy they got from Real Madrid, who I still think is a spy. You got to pick one, and the other one can still kill you. Maybe it's rebounding. Maybe Josh Gray's got to figure out a way to loosen those hips up a little bit and be able to move and get some of these rebounds, because I would not want to see Florida.
SEC bracket there. You're right. So the winner of Tennessee and Texas will take on Auburn, and then the winner of Florida and Missouri will take on the winner of Alabama and Kentucky. Let's move on to BYU in Houston, because BYU was your horse win the Big 12 championship. They're going to take on Houston today. That's another 7 p.m. tip. -6.5 right now for the Houston Cougars, 133.5 on the point line. But here's an interesting tidbit. BYU, 9-game winning streak. Houston, 11-game winning streak.
Ooh, buddy. Well, first key for BYU is you got to keep shooting how you're shooting. I mean, you shot 18 threes last time you played. And that's why I picked BYU, because at the end of the day, if you can run 5 out, you're hard to beat.
Yeah.
You're just hard to beat. If you're shooting well and running 5 out, you're a tough team to beat. And you have to think about what Houston wants to do. Houston wants to turn you over. Houston wants to play defense, get points off transition on defense, and that's how they're going to beat you. If you're BYU, you just can't beat yourself. You know how you beat yourself with turnovers. You can't do that. If you do that against this Houston team, you're probably going to get run out of the gym. I think BYU needs something to go well early. I think they need to come out hot early just to get that belief in them that they can play with this team and beat this team. But I do think Houston is beatable, and BYU has the ingredients. But you got to shoot well, protect the ball, and you have to have somewhat of influence on the glass. You don't have to beat them in rebounds, but I think you got to be close.
You like the 6.5?
I like Houston to cover this one. And here's where I'm worried about BYU. Again, if you hit 18 threes, okay, that's great. You're probably not going to hit 18 threes again, especially against these guys. Where I'm worried about for BYU is, can you shoot well enough early to open up the gaps to drive? Because Houston is fine with you shooting with a hand in your face on the perimeter. But if BYU can hit some early to extend that Houston defense out, they can drive in there and draw fouls, or drive in there and finish, or drive in there on your perimeter guy, then have the post player come over and try and block the shot, which opens up the weak side for rebounds, which I think could be BYU's best friend. But these are two clashing styles. These two teams are totally different. I don't want to call BYU finesse, because I don't think they're soft. But Houston, much like Tennessee, plays a very scrappy, physical, backyard style of basketball. And if this thing gets logged down and jammed up and you don't have the free-flowing offense like BYU wants on the perimeter, because they have no conscience at guard. They're shooting it. If they can see the basket, they're shooting it. But if it becomes a log jam, I really like Houston down low. I like Houston rebounding. I like Houston drawing fouls and then making free throws. But if you're BYU, you got to stop LJ Cryer and hope.
All right, quickly here. Texas Tech in Arizona. This one's tight here. Texas Tech's minus a point and a half right now. 152.5 on the point line.
I feel like every time we talk about Arizona, the key is Caleb Love. I mean, he's either going to shoot. He's your Wade Taylor. He's either going to shoot you to a win or shoot you out of a win. So when I look at Arizona, yeah, you beat Kansas. It was a good win. You needed that one. Kansas isn't what they've been in the past. But what I like about Texas Tech, and look, Toppin's an incredible athlete. It feels like there's a lot of no-name guys on Texas Tech, and everybody just shows up and plays their role. So if I had to pick a key to this game for Arizona, it's Caleb Love. For Texas Tech, I think you get in their head a little bit early by just continuing to do what you do and have your role players that you've carved out continue to make shots. They can make them in the mid-range. They can make them driving. And if Texas Tech gets hot from three, with the athleticism they have, they're a very, very dangerous team, including in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think Arizona, look, Caleb Love going off is phenomenal, but I think they need more of a balanced approach.
Yeah.
Like, I think for Arizona to really turn into the Arizona we're used to seeing, it's like you need at least five guys to show up and play good basketball. Caleb Love's not going to take you to the promised land. He's not. I'll tell you that right now. Go back to when we played in North Carolina. It wasn't just him who was doing that. So if you're Arizona, you need a balanced attack. And Arizona's the type of team they want to run. They want to run up and down the court. Texas Tech is not that type of team. So it's going to be interesting. I think whoever can get at least two to three guys in double digits from a scoring standpoint is going to win this game.
Get those calls in. The Hot Take Hotline is now open. There's a number of other big games today. I know we're going to talk about some in locks, leans, and dogs. So whichever ones we're not going to talk about, feel free to give me a key to victory here. We got Clemson-Louisville today. Obviously, Michigan State already knocked off Oregon earlier. Purdue-Michigan. I mean, Michigan's going to have to turn things around here before the NCAA tournament comes on. Maryland-Illinois is a really interesting one to me, as is St. John's and Marquette.
Yeah, the St. John's Marquette one. I love watching St. John's play. Marquette, I expected more out of Marquette this year. Cam Jones is an NBA player here. He's phenomenal. But they're not playing consistently at the level that I expected them to. And they were lucky. They survived yesterday against the Xavier team, which we'll see if they're going to make it. It looks like Memphis also is going to beat Wichita State. That's one of those bid stealer leagues, Cone, that some of these guys on the periphery are worried about. Texas fans need to keep their eye on that because you want Memphis to win that tournament. You do not want UAB to win that tournament, and I think UAB can because Andy Kennedy is a hell of a coach. But before we get to Locks, Leans, and Dogs, let's get to the chat room.
All right, let's go to a $1.99 donation from the Madman. Appreciate it. It says, who do you think has the edge beyond the arc in the Texas-Tennessee game?
I'll say Texas. You know, again, consistently have they been phenomenal shooting threes? No, but when you have Trey Johnson, if Kaluma can show up and hit, I mean, Pope, he's a guy that can make some. Weaver hit one yesterday. I would say Texas, but by a slim margin, just because they got more guys, I think they can.
$5 donation from the Insider 23. How important is Kentucky controlling the tempo against Alabama? I feel like that should be the first key on the list.
Well, that's why I said typically pace when you're playing Alabama. You want to control the pace, but I think Kentucky can play fast as well. The question becomes then, if you're a Kentucky fan, is it better for us to play fast to be able to score enough, or is it better for us to play at maybe a weaker pace than we're used to because Alabama's so good at playing fast? That one, I don't have a great answer for you because at the end of the day, Alabama has turned the ball over a lot. Mm-hmm. When does Alabama turn the ball over? They don't turn it over a lot in the half court when they're running sets when they got slowed down. Go look at the Auburn game. When they turn it over is when they're running. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, but I would always rely on what my strength is. If I'm Mark Pope and I think we're better at playing fast, then damn it, we're going to play fast regardless of who we're playing.
Isn't there a line of thinking, too, that Alabama in some ways is pace-proof? Like, they're going to get the number of touches they're going to get. And the best way to implement pace is just to play physical defense against
for sure.
them more so than adjusting your pace on offense.
And making shots. Because it's a lot harder to play with pace when you got to throw the ball from under the basket to the point guard, even though Alabama does it really quick, as opposed to getting a long run out on a rebound or a rebound and a quick kick.
Let's go to the Rolling Tide 22. What's up, man? If Alabama struggles from deep, which we probably will, do they have a backup plan, and are we good enough to actually win on the inside?
Well,
they were 5 for 26 from three in the first game against Auburn and still kept it pretty tight, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm going back to Grant Nelson.
What was the score of that first?
It was 94-85, I think, Auburn won there. If Grant Nelson is able to do things on the inside, because when Grant Nelson goes up, Cliff's on the other side, right, who can get those rebounds. That's what he did against Auburn. But Grant was scoring. If Grant and Cliff are not scoring, which Cliff, you can't rely on him to score a lot. It's almost like Dylan Cardwell a little bit. He's out there for defense, rim protection, and try and draw fouls on the other big man. Then Alabama has to rely on that three-pointer because they're not going to shoot mid-range shots. That's just not in their DNA. And they got guards that can create. Obviously, Mark Sears can create going to the rack. LeBaron Filon, who Hal Hammond to Hyde Pettiford were left off the Andy Katz all-freshman team. I'll never understand that one. But if Alabama does not get Grant Nelson to play well, that's when the three-pointer, if they're missing, becomes a huge factor.
All right, the poll is, who will win the SEC tournament, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, or other? Other means Florida.
Auburn.
I'm going to say they said Tennessee.
Auburn, 35%, Tennessee, 7%, Alabama, 22%, other, 36%.
So Florida.
Percent.
So Florida. I think you're
Florida
smart.
Florida in the field?
I picked
not
Florida.
A bad bet.
Yeah, I picked Florida to win it. All right, speaking about who we picked to do what, let's get to our locks, leans, and dogs. Guys, again, over the past three weekends, we are up almost 22 units in our locks, leans, and dogs, which is insane. And Cone, you've been on fire, dog.
Have I?
Oh, my God. I went back and looked at the numbers. I'm surprised the FBI hadn't. I'm surprised Cash Patel hadn't called you yet asking, all right, who do you know or whatever, or that guy with the big hat that works for the NCAA.
Dang it. See, now it's going to be in my head, and I'm going to be overthinking it. But luckily, I made these picks before you told me that.
You did. All right, I'm going to go through mine. So we got two locks, two leans, and two dogs. So my two locks, St. John's. I bought this down a point. It was at 3.5. They were a 3.5-point favorite against Marquette. I got it at 2.5. That's going off at -140. I love the way that the Red Storm are playing, what Patino's doing, bringing back that old school style of coaching. They asked during a press conference the other day, one of his players got an IV and it's like for Ramadan or something. And he asked the doctor, can you help his, like, do you have a certain IV that helps him shoot better? Like on the court, the doctor obviously did not know, did not have an answer for that. So give me St. John's -2.5. Maryland. Money line today, I really like the way the Terrapins are playing. I think they're a sneaky team in the NCAA tournament. That's going off at -118. Then my leans. No Cooper Flag? I'll ride with North Carolina, +6.5. Even though the money's not on them, the money's on Duke at -112. But give me North Carolina, +6.5. RJ Davis, I still think they have to have it. I don't think they're officially in the tournament yet. I think a good showing against Duke, not necessarily win, but a good showing could solidify it. Then Missouri, Florida, over 162.5. Give me that. I think Missouri shoots well today, but Florida scores 90 points and wins. Then my dogs. Michigan.
Dog is that?
It's a sick dog, all right, but it's still a dog. Treat everybody the same. It's 2025. Figure it out. Michigan, money line. Come on, Cone. I'm riding with y'all. Don't let me down. That's at +120. And then Kentucky. Why not? They always play better when nobody's believing in them.
What a homer bet.
Give me Kentucky +240. That's what I got.
Ooh, boy, that Michigan money line. That's a risky play. I'm glad you believe. I have less faith. But let's stay locked in like one of those precogs in Minority Report. I'm going to go money line. I'm going to go Maryland money line as well, -118. That was my horse when we did our Big Ten predictions. So I'm going to stick with them today, taking on Illinois. Then go ahead and give me BYU as one of my locks, +6.5, -110. I really like this Houston team. I like any team this time of year that plays such physical defense like Houston plays. But there's something about this BYU team so easy to pull for, just like in football this year. Give me the +6.5. They're on a 9-game win streak?
They're hot.
Hey, just lose by 5, and we cover that lock right there. St. John's -3.5, -115. I'm really excited about this game against Marquette today. One of my other leans right now, Alabama, Kentucky, over 177.5, -135. I bought that down 2 points at the time I took this. Right now, I think it's at 178.5. So you might get a little more value just letting it ride where it's at. But again, that's a lot of points. They're going to score a lot of points. So give me that as one of my leans. And then my dogs, rough Louisville money line, +110, taking on your horse in the ACC, I believe, Clemson.
Come on, Clemson.
You got special eyes on that one, which that whole tournament's gotten more interesting with Cooper Flagg going out now because he's not going to return for the tournament at least. And then my other dog, Arizona money line, +110. Again, I think you get some good value there with them taking on Texas Tech, and that'll be later on this evening, right?
Correct.
But, yeah.
All right. Look, I'm rolling with the boys from Provo.
And
I'm not only betting them for my lock, BYU +7.5, -115, bought that up a little bit, then Kentucky +7.5, minus 115. I don't think the SEC refs will let the Alabama-Kentucky game get out of hand, no matter what the teams are. Then lean in, Texas Tech, minus 2.5, minus 104. I think they're a better team. Then I'm rolling with Jake's boys at Clemson. Money.
Come on!
At
come
minus
on!
115. And my dogs, woo, 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 woo. Let's go, baby. BYU, plus 230, Provo. Power, energy, footwork. Hopefully they win so somebody in Provo will maybe get hyped up enough to drink a caffeinated soda or something. Who knows? Then give me Michigan money line, plus 120.
Come on.
Screw Purdue. Don't believe
come
him.
Come on.
Zach Edey's gone. Show up one time.
Gas
come
me
on,
up,
boys.
Dusty
it's
Bay.
Time. Let's go, BYU. Provo. Soaking out
feeling
here.
Good about it. I'm feeling good. What does the chat say real quick?
All right. Let me get in here 1 second. Let's go to a $5 donation from the BYU. Appreciate it. It says, Blaine, your trust in us runs a lot further than what I have. I don't think we're better than this Houston team. And I think it'll show pretty early.
Come on,
gotta
come on. I want to switch my pick.
Look, I watched that new series on Netflix about like the Mormons and the United States, whatever. Y'all are a little more dog in you than what I thought. I'm not going to lie. Y'all are willing to go the extra mile. That is true, allegedly.
$5 donation from I'm Flying. I don't know what the guy all the way to the left is talking about, but Caleb Love needs to have his best game for us to win. Well, that's not only what I was saying. I said Caleb could have a good game, but y'all are going to need other people to show up.
Yeah.
To win. Basketball is a five-person sport, basically, who is on the court. One guy can make a difference, but he's not going to be good enough to take y'all where y'all want to go in the end.
Well, if Caleb Love scores 18 points, you're like, that's great. I want to see how many shots did he take to get to 18 points. That's what I'm looking at. It's efficiency. I think that's what Flaming Dragon was referencing there. All right, remember, we got the phone lines open, 1-855-236-3228. A couple reactions, then we're going to get to your calls.
So yes.
You're on the line, got a couple reactions, then we're going to get to your calls. Cody, where are we starting?
Oh, you know where we're going to start. The WNBA is recruiting men. That's right, you heard me. Male practice player tryouts. Apparently, this has happened in Los Angeles. The LA Sparks is the team that is set to host male practice player tryouts, which I think could be a great opportunity for us, the Lady Ballers. But they're saying this is a new era of training, which I find hilarious since college teams have been doing this for years. But my question is, why would it be advantageous to practice against the men? Hmm. Why would it be advantageous to practice against the men?
That's a great question. I wonder why. Maybe it's advantageous the same way that Dawn Staley in South Carolina thought it was advantageous. They gave their men practice squad rings after winning the national championship.
Is that true?
Maybe, David. Maybe. In this crazy world, there is still one of the most singular truths out there in that men, biologically, are different than women. And if you get men who are athletic, I'm just saying, if you get men who are athletic to practice against your women, then your women go play other women. There's an old saying, if you make practice harder than the game, right, then the game is easier. This is what you're doing. This is why I would just love, and they would never do it, but I would love for the GM of the Sparks to come on Crane & Company and let me ask, what is the reasoning why you want to have an all-male practice squad for a women's basketball team? Because it makes you better, David. Because men are better at sports than women because of biology. This is just proving the point. But this is not new. I'm almost more pissed off they're acting like they came up with the idea when I've seen women's college teams do this for a decade.
A new era of training?
It's new, Dave. Never heard of it.
That's like a
practice team. Practice team? I want a roster spot.
Yeah.
Y'all trying to get views or what? Caitlin Clark, who's that? I can't remember what the name was for me. God,
how far are you willing to go? Post-op? The surgery?
I mean, bend over and I'll show you.
That's enough for this segment. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, but we did have this this video of this guy locking down Sabrina.
Yeah, this like 15-year-old Filipino is.
What's her name? She's
Sabrina Ionescu.
Ionescu.
There you, that's
Ionescu.
Right.
Is that right?
That's I'm right. Proud of you, kid.
Yeah, how about that? Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Crane & Company.
Can we show this video?
Yeah, let's go ahead and show the clip. You're going to dribble down here.
All right.
Got this high school kid playing defense on her. That's just good defense.
Charge.
What are you upset about?
What are you mad about?
Aw, someone's playing defense against me. This isn't fair.
That's what I'm saying. I would take that guy's team over any WNBA team. I bet they'd win.
All right, next one up here. Let's go to the Players Championship. Rory McIlroy, he's always getting into something. There was a heckler, but the heckler played college golf. Do you know what are the details on this?
This is wild.
And he goes over and takes his phone?
Yeah. So before I just want to give you a little context before we play the clip. So a guy had just won the national championship or won a tournament for Texas. His name is, I think, Luke Potter. No relation to Harry. So then
allegedly,
where they played was close to where the players' championship's being played. So during the practice round, they went over there, and apparently when Rory hit a ball in the water off the tee, the Potter dude who played for Texas started making fun of him about when he choked at the Masters, like, a while back. And so then Rory McIlroy walked over there and did this. Let's play the clip right here. So he says something to Rory. Then Rory walks over here. And he's like, hey, can I see your phone?
He just let him take it.
Takes his phone.
He just let him take his phone.
Look, would I have heckled the guy? No. The coach came out from Texas and was like, that doesn't represent us or whatever. But you trying to come over and take my phone? Like, who do you think you are? Like, Prince Abdullah from Saudi Arabia? Like, what?
Would you let him take it? Would you let the prince get your phone?
The prince?
Yeah.
If I was in Saudi Arabia, yes. If we're over here, no. But like, Rory, you can F around and find out if you think, like, you're an amazing golfer, right? But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like Rory McIlroy. I don't know anybody that likes Rory McIlroy, but you can F around and find out real quick if you want to take my phone.
You know, it's just upsetting to me that there's no heckling allowed in golf.
That's what makes Happy Gilmore such a great
movie. It's a gentleman's game.
A gentleman can heckle. You not heckle your boys, Dave? You do. You do,
yeah.
Dave. You do.
Yeah, I do.
You know, especially out on the golf course. And I'm not saying you're out there MFing somebody. You know, but that doesn't, like,
save how, that for waste
how
management.
How little
right?
of your, sure. like, how insecure are you
yeah.
as a golfer to let that bother you to the tent that you go and take another man's phone, which could have turned south extremely quickly,
yeah.
and then get him thrown out of the tournament? Dog, you ain't won a major in 10 years.
Yeah.
You're not Tiger.
Mm.
You're not Jack Nicholson. Like, who, like, you've basically
Jack
as
Nicholas?
Good as
you,
Jack Nicholas.
Whatever.
He's not Jack Nicholson.
His career has been. Some people view Rory
and y'all make sure to
as,
cut that in
as good as he
that.
Started, as his career is a failure. As good as Rory McIlroy started his career, the trajectory he was on, he hasn't even came close.
He just has such
that.
A punchable face and attitude.
He wouldn't make it on the football field.
No.
Not doing stuff like that.
He wouldn't make it on the baseball field.
Yeah. All right, one more here. What's going on with Carson Beck? Carson Beck transferred from Georgia to Miami to play quarterback because he was dating one of the Cavender twins.
Oh, man. This sounds like a great story.
Yeah, well, what's the latest now, Dragon?
Well, what I've heard, and I have a lot of boots on the ground around this story, is Carson Beck got caught Snapchatting another girl, and she caught him, and they broke up. And apparently
Snapchatting? Like, that's it? Or was it like, because, I mean,
I'm not 100% on the other thing, so I'm not going to just throw
Can you
it out
throw out
there.
A couple allegedlies here?
Yeah.
So we're safe.
Well, allegedly he slept with a Latina.
Welcome to Miami.
And that's not out of the works when it comes to Miami. But we got the opportunity to meet the Cavender twins. They were both lovely, very sweet. I really never understood the Carson Beck thing anyways. I mean, he looks like the thing off Ice Age. He looks for the nuts the entire movie. I get you're a quarterback in the SEC.
Dude, is that Sid the Sloth?
Sid the Sloth. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me why you would upend everything from Georgia. You would leave Georgia to follow her to Miami and then cheat on her after your car just got stolen. What
Multiple
are we doing, brother?
Yeah.
So much for that Carson Beck interview we were about to get.
He's ACC. Who cares?
Been hanging around with
They're
Jackson.
Failing as a conference.
Been hanging around with Jackson Dart.
Oh, wild times, boys. Wild times. You want phone calls?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, we got people on the lines here. Let's go to Jonathan in North Carolina. Jonathan, talk to us. What's your hot take?
Yeah, what's going on, boys? Blaine, Jake, and Cone?
Yeah.
I think you guys said, one of you guys said Blaine one of the times.
Hey, yeah. don't call me.
They don't say anything.
Now I hope Duke.
And it's Blaine.
Thanks for calling in.
It's Blaine. My question is, we're about to beat the Carolina Tar Heels another time. With one hand tied behind our back.
What's the ceiling?
I'm so pumped, so motivated. The Tar Heels are going down. I'm so pumped we're motivated. I mean, I know I feel bad about Cooper. When it happened, I mean, it was bad. It was first half Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was like up like six, and then he went down, and then Brown went down again. It was bad. But then we came back. We need him for a second round. I know that. He's probably going to come back.
All right, Jonathan. Again, hope Cooper's fine. I want everybody to be healthy, to beat everybody at their best. I'm just, again, to me, it's not even really about just when he comes back, David. It's like, how healthy is he when he comes back? Mm-hmm. Like, how healthy will he be for that second round? Then you get that week layoff, which will be huge going into that next Thursday in the Sweet 16. I'm just wondering, like, all right, you're able to play, but what percent are you? Because there's a big difference between 90% and 70%, especially on the defensive side. Because love it or hate it, teams know that Cooper's hurt. They're going to go right at him. That's what I do.
Yep. Thanks for calling in, brother. Let's go to Caveman 2.0 in Alabama. What's your hot take, brother?
Hey, boys. Sorry, Jake and Blaine, but we can't be friends tonight. We got an upset brewing, and I can't wait for it. Third time's a charm.
Who's the upset?
Oh, Ole Miss is going to beat Auburn.
Brother, they just played and y'all lost.
They already lost, buddy.
Oh, no,
they just lost.
Y'all just lost.
You just lost. Instant reaction. How do you feel
over.
Knowing you just lost? No way. K-Man, you can't call in and talk. Actually, you know what? Hold on. K-Man. I'll make you a bet. I'll take Auburn -4.5.
Hey, y'all played well, though.
I will say, though, K-Man, I think y'all are going to be a hard out in the tournament. It's just, again, that front court. How much can Dia do defensively? That's what I'm looking at.
Welcome back to Earth.
That's all right. Hey,
y'all gonna be a tough out.
Yeah. He is caveman. He must have just went out and looked.
I love it. I've heard a lot of trash talk in my day. But to trash talk after the game's over.
I never thought that would happen in real time.
Caveman, that's an all time. That's an all time.
You only get that here on a live show.
That's exactly
live. Not these other people who record it and put it out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Let's move on to Thad in Kansas. Thad, what's your hot take that's already happened?
Boys, I got two hot takes. So the first one, Blaine brought it up. You guys have been talking about it. These chicks that become dudes, there's only two of them that have gone to any other sport. These dudes that are in women's sports need to get off my lawn. It's garbage.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
BS.
Okay? This is weird.
And I've been pissed off about it since you told me about it or since you talked about it, Dragon. So, I mean, that's been about a week. I need to calm down a little.
No, stay upset.
The next thing. What are the Steelers doing? I know it's a basketball show today. I get it. I'm not good at basketball, so it goes out of my mind. But we have Skylar Thompson, just signed him, and he has more injuries than he's ever started. And then the man with the most punchable face in the NFL just got re-signed, Mason Rudolph. So he's going to be go against Myles Garrett.
You and Myles Garrett agree on that.
And then are we waiting on the guy with the 5-year plan to not die? Of Aaron Rodgers, he's going to end up being a fry cook at Hooters.
Would you rather
Hooters at Dumpy's? Right.
Well, I wonder, Steelers fans in general, would they take Aaron Rodgers now, or say, you know what, go draft a guy? Because look, Mason Rudolph ain't.
Russell.
Russell Wilson. Would you take Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? I'm taking Aaron. I'm sorry, I am.
I'd probably take. I thought, to be honest with you, Thad, I thought the Steelers have done well. Especially in the free agency.
Which is, what are you going to do at quarterback? That's the most important thing.
I don't think Russell's the worst option in the league. Obviously, Mason Rudolph's not going to be your starter. I don't think Aaron would be a terrible option. I don't think I'd have to go and look, see where y'all are when it comes to draft picks or who y'all could get and what'd be available. But you go pick up DK Metcalf. Him and George Pickens and Freiermuth are going to be an absolute problem when it comes from a receiver and tight end unit. I mean, you got Darius Slay from the Eagles, who's pretty damn good. I mean, you got Malik Harrison, who's pretty damn good. I think right now, if you're a Steelers fan and Mike Tomlin, you're building something that can be good enough to take you where you want to go. But at the end of the day, you're going to need a quarterback. Yep. And who's that answer?
And the Jets officially signed Justin Fields,
correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's move on to Eric in Delaware. Eric, what's your hot take?
Hey, guys. I just want to call in last week by Sunday because we talked to Flaming Dragon about wrestling.
Let him know, Eric.
That's not your mouth. Because I thought this was the country where we're supposed to accept you for who they are. We accept you, Flaming Dragon. I've seen photos, videos of you on X and YouTube by this media source that I trust called Crinical on X and on YouTube that shows you with a Bud Light sponsorship person.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
The thing about it is, like, I was trying to find out.
That, like, that saying goes, fool me one time, same on me. Fool me two times, same on me.
You can't get fooled again.
The way you, every time you come in and you cross your legs, the other two co-hosts don't cross their legs. We don't say nothing. We accept you. Why don't you accept wrestling? I'm just saying.
The thing about it, take a breath. But I can tell you're breathing. I can tell you're breathing hard a little bit. You're fine. You're safe.
Keep Eric on. Keep Eric on.
Two. All right. I don't want to even attack y'all. I just want to see how. Why do y'all like it? I don't understand why a grown ass man, okay, will go to a wrestling event that's all fake and scripted and act like everything's a surprise. I don't understand it. If you can, Eric, if you can help me understand it, then that's fine.
You go see movies, those are scripted.
Yeah, I know, but it's a movie is different to going to a wrestling event.
Hey, I know it's different, but it's scripted.
Hey, the real question is, Eric, y'all beating Kentucky tonight?
I hope so, because goddamn, we need it. We're not football no more. It's basketball now.
Yeah.
Well, I ask people that on Broadway.
I'm dreading the football season, so we need something to set up.
Look, it's I like that over there, Eric, but have fun out
Thank
there.
Y'all.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you, brother. All right, let's go to Richard in Colorado. Richard, what's your hot take?
Hey, if you call MSU, we respond, because I'm like the Golden Arches. We give a go white when we hear go green. But yeah, I wanted to talk about that moment where UM player was sitting on the logo, and I guess kind of like putting it all together, the defense kind of was more along the lines of, oh, we just didn't know that was going on, which just is like such a baby poop soft excuse. It's like, oh, we didn't know anything. Like, how could we possibly be expected to be critical thinkers here? Like what's going on over there? They're kissing the court, letting the seniors on the court. What's going on here? And maybe that's what Dusty wants to ride with. I think that's kind of like what I've been seeing from him, or we just didn't understand or whatever. But I'm going to give your players the benefit of the doubt. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. All game long, they've been standing at the three-point line during the free throws, and all of a sudden, down the last 20 seconds, or down 20 in the last 30 seconds, we're going to get back to basics. We're going to lock in here. No, man, they were out there to disrespect Michigan State. And of course they were.
Keep him on.
Keep him on.
Stay on the line. You're good. Here's what.
This is one of the most story rivalries on college basketball. Listen.
I get what you're saying. Here's the difference, though. To me, because again, this is what I was trying to explain to people on Instagram the other day when the Michigan State Army, which I mean, you guys are the Spartans, so it does make sense. Here's my point, because I compare it to other sports. What other tradition happens while the game is being played? I know you guys are up 20. The game is over, basically, but it's still being played. What if I, in football, said, hey, it's senior day. We're up by 28 points. There's 30 seconds left, and you're on defense and we're on offense. Hey, safety, can you move off the logo when you're in man free so we can do this and have a player go do it? I've never seen a tradition like that happens while the game is still being played. Why not call timeout? If you're Michigan State and do it and then go over, and if they be disrespectful, then push the guy. I'm not going to tell the shortstop in the top of the ninth inning when we're up by 9 runs to scoot over from shortstop so we can go out there and kiss that spot in the ground. I've just never seen people get mad about telling a player to move while the game is still going, even though it was free throws. That was the only point I was trying to make, and you'd have thought I kidnapped Tom Izzo's wife.
I was more like trying to fight Cohen here, I guess, but like just because it just like, and I can agree with that, you know, to an extent, but it is something they've been doing for years and years now. It's not like it's just brand new. And I think that there is a distinction between basketball and doing it like in football or something like that. But I mean, I can respect that take for sure. But I just, the sense that I was getting was everyone was saying, oh, we didn't know. But, like, of course you knew, man. Like, stay in your ground.
Oh, yeah. They may have known.
I'm here trying to tell the vice president of Seven Footer Island how to stay in tall. That's why you get to go blue.
I asked a room full. I asked a room full of Big Ten basketball fans yesterday at the cigar bar if they knew about this tradition, and they didn't. And I went to Michigan. I'm affiliated with this rivalry, and I cover sports for a living, and I wasn't even familiar with this tradition. But let's just grant your premise that the Michigan players knew what was going on, and they did want to be petty and just stand right in the center of the court, which I think is very, very possible. Why would you expect your in-state rival to be cognizant of or to allow you to just have like an in-game moment while the clock is going on? Like, wouldn't you want your in-state rival to do something like that?
I completely agree. And that's not the problem that I have. The problem is definitely on the other side of the response. Like after everything was said and done, the defense of what it was, oh, we didn't know. And that's not the case. Like they almost certainly knew, and maybe not everybody else knew, but they knew, you know, the people that were actually doing it. And maybe it's important for them to have maybe said that themselves or something like that, but they did not know. I don't think that there's any real way to say they didn't know.
Yeah, well, it's only going to heat the rivalry up and make it even better. I mean, hell, Harvey Updike tried to poison the water supply at Auburn. So, you know, we'd asked him to move before he put that poison in the water system in the tree. But, Richard, great call, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right.
That's how we settle it.
Is that it?
That's how we settle it right there. I like that. Yeah, that's it. Let's get to Donos and get up out of here. There's some basketball we got.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from the PT. Appreciate it, buddy. Says, guys, I don't know if y'all saw the post-game interview with Bruce Pearl. But if you haven't, I would go watch it. He let the P word go.
He's like the P-U word that ends in Y?
Yep.
Oh, buddy, I know what I'm looking at when I get off here.
All right, let's go to a $10 donation from the Big Jack. Appreciate it. BYU is going all the way, fellas. You've heard it here first. No, that'll actually be second. They're going to win their conference tournament. Then I'm expecting at least Elite Eight.
I could see it. I don't think they'd be a bad value bet.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from the PTW. Appreciate it, man. If Mark Sears doesn't show up in this game, I swear I might jump off a building. I really need this Alabama team to win. Got a lot of bread rolling on this one.
Look, I think Mark Sears is going to show up. But if he doesn't, you stay on the ground floor, live to fight another day.
Let's go to a $10 donation from Check My Balance. Appreciate it. I got Kentucky winning money line in this game. I think they're actually going to outpace Alabama and shoot better from the three.
We'll see. Not having Jackson Robinson hurts.
$10 donation from The Intensity. Arizona is going to win because Caleb Love will be the difference. I'm thinking 20-plus for Caleb, and I'm giving him 4-plus assists. I bet that on a parlay, a three-leg, and I also have Texas Tech money line.
I love it. We'll see.
All right, Longhorn, $5 donation. Appreciate it. Trey Johnson will be the difference. Watching the game live, just stumbled on y'all's show. You definitely got a subscriber out of me. Appreciate it, brother. Then we have a $10 donation from Dave. Appreciate it, Dave. What do we think about Florida this year? Are they going to make a run? Are the free throw percentage going to come back and bite them in the ass?
Yes, they're going to make a run. Would not want to get in the water with them Gators right now.
All right, last donation of the day, a $5 donation from The Shadow. Appreciate it. Says, hey, guys, first time watching y'all's show. Appreciate it. How can I call in for next time?
Cone. We need to tell them how to call
in. Next Friday, call in 1-855-236-3228. Our team will answer the phone. You give us your hot take.
All right, The Shadow. We'll be looking for you. You're always there anyway. All right, we appreciate you guys checking us out. Enjoy the basketball tonight and like the chances of us not taking the over in the Bama-Kentucky game. I don't care if it's 1,000. We're going. Gone. Yeah, that was smooth. That's all right.